Welcome to Finding Joy with Kara. This is your host, Kara Kavensky. This episode is sponsored by Adam Gibson Design, an architectural design firm specializing in luxury homes. Full home design, remodels, and additions. The Adam Gibson Design Team is known for an infusion of natural light, clean lines, warmth, efficient use of space, and most importantly, a healthy design. The Adam Gibson Design Team designs for living. Visit adamgibsondesign.com to learn more. Today, I am joined by Kim Dodson. Kim is the executive director of the Arc of Indiana. She has learned how to be innovative and take risks, all for the cause of helping those with special needs live lives of purpose. Fate is what brought Kim to her current position, for it was literally an accident while she was a junior at Purdue University that steered her course towards this career. Dodson was involved in a fatal car crash that claimed the life of her then fiancé. After recovering from her own injuries, she made a major decision to change her major from investment banking to pre-law. And during the course of an internship with a congressman, Dodson was introduced to lobbying. She worked for this lobbying firm and represented amusement parks as one of their clients. It was during that time that she met someone named Emily Hunt, a young woman who was badly injured in an amusement park accident that claimed the life of Hunt's grandmother and rendered Hunt a quadriplegic. Hunt was lobbying for increased safety inspections at amusement parks, and Dodson was representing the other side. After a hearing on this issue, Dodson returned to the law firm and told her boss they needed a compromise. The managing partner said no. Dodson quit 2 months later. That law firm no longer exists. That summer, reports of abuse and neglect leaked out about the treatment of patients with special needs at state-run institutions. Kim had no history with people of disabilities, but she was called to help in this effort as it greatly offended her. She called the Arc of Indiana, and then Executive Director John Dickerson was looking for a lobbyist. Now, 20-something years later, Dodson serves in his position.
Thanks so much for being a part of Finding Joy with Kara. You are the Executive Director for Arc of Indiana, which does some phenomenally meaningful work. And I would love for you to share what that is.
Yeah. So one, thank you for including me. I very much appreciate and always love talking about the Arc of Indiana. We're actually getting ready to celebrate our 65th anniversary in September. And so this timing is really good because we've been doing a lot of conversations with families and people with disabilities over the last few months about what the ARC means to them. And so it's nice to be able to share all of that. But the ARC of Indiana is a statewide organization that advocates for issues important to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. And so our mission is really to help people with disabilities realize their dreams of living, working, playing, learning in the communities they choose around our state. We want them to gain as much independence as possible and have a good life.
There are so many amazing stories that have come out of the work that you do. And I've had the privilege of writing about a few of those. There are many, many more. And there are two different divisions. Like there's the advocacy part, and may, if that's what you call it. And then also there's the foundation. Mm-hmm. And I would like for you to describe a little bit of the responsibilities and the division of those two entities underneath the umbrella of Arc of Indiana.
Yeah, so we're not your typical not-for-profit. We're pretty innovative when it comes to hearing a need that exists and what are we going to do to help solve that need. So kind of underneath the Arc of Indiana, the core of our mission is advocacy. We want to make sure that when families or a person with a disability has a question, needs a resource, has an issue that needs to be resolved, that they can contact our office and have a friendly voice who can help assist them in any way they need help, whether that's applying for a Medicaid waiver, working through the K-12 school system and writing an IEP and IEP goals, you know, transitioning from high school to employment, to college, whatever that looks like. So we really take advocacy as truly that, really making sure that families are able to talk to other families, people with disabilities can talk to other people with disabilities and navigate the system that's not always friendly in the sense of being easily understood and knowing what to do and what steps to take to get the resources that you need. So that is absolutely the core of our mission. Public policy, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of rules, regulations, laws that govern a lot of the services and supports that people with disabilities need. So we play a very large role at the State House and at the Capitol in DC. And so we're very proud of those efforts. We also have a very large master trust that was started in the 80s. That was started because families were worried about the future of their loved one with a disability and who was going to care for them when they were no longer able to do so. So we created a trust. And then when we started really hearing about employment and how people with disabilities, when you talk to them, they want to work. They want to have a purpose for their life. They want to have a structured day that they know that they are doing something productive. And unfortunately, there just wasn't a lot of good opportunities that were showing really good results in Indiana. And so right around 2010 is when, through some conversations we had at the State House, legislators really challenged the ARC to come up with a solution. And so that's how we created Erskine Green Training Institute. And that's really focused on providing a quasi-college experience for people with disabilities that give them job skills in hospitality, food services, and healthcare. And we've had great success. I think at the end of this year, we'll have 250 graduates, which is fantastic. Of those 250 graduates, usually 18 months after they leave us from graduation, 80% of them are still employed, which is huge for our population of people. Usually we don't see those type of results, but we are absolutely seeing them. And so that's why we created that. And there are other needs out there that we know that we haven't even tapped into. So we're eager to see what the future holds.
So that's a lot to unpack right there. Before we go to the Erskine Green Institute, which is one of my favorite things ever created. So I really want to spend some time talking about that. But first, let's address some of the policy issues. And as we're celebrating the 65 years of advocacy with ARC of Indiana, what have been some of your top hits?
Wow, that's such a loaded question, right? Because 65 years is a long time. And if you think about it at the federal level, the IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, right? The piece of legislation, the landmark piece of legislation that allowed children who needed to receive special education services for education to go to school in a public school system, just like every other kid. That was one piece. American with Disabilities Act. That is another one. In Indiana, I've been involved with the ARC since 1998. Here too, we did a lot of education initiatives. All of the newborn screening tests that help see if a child is born with any type of a genetic condition or any kind of condition that quite honestly needs to be found out as soon as possible so that they can start preparing and providing services to that newborn child. All of that is because of the ARC. All of the independent services and supports that allow for the closing of state institutions and allowing for people to live out in the community. All of that is because of the ARC initiatives. Some of my favorite pieces of legislation has been some of the health benefit mandates for insurance. There is nothing worse than talking to a family on the phone who is going into debt, divorcing because they can't pay their medical bills because insurance companies aren't providing the appropriate services and supports for their loved one with a disability. And so starting in the early 2000s, we passed a couple pieces of legislation around autism and metabolic diseases that mandated that insurance companies provide for some of those services and supports. And there's numerous others. I mean, I could go on and on, but those are some major ones. Even just recently, of creating an alternate diploma, just to make sure that students who receive special education services in high school get more than a pat on the back and a certificate of completion. They really get recognized for making strong educational progress and learning a lot of skills that will lead to a job, a vocational training, or something. And so we created an alternate diploma so that they would be able to have a lot of options for leaving high school with a diploma.
Well, and another that I knew of a few years ago was regarding guardianship. So as a parent, when your child is emancipated at age 19, then if that child has special needs and you as the parent are responsible for them, for medical, for everything else, and then all of a sudden those rights and that those safety guards evaporated, right? And so then wasn't there something, a policy passed or a law about being able to maintain that level of guardianship for a child with special needs as they become an adult by age?
Yeah. So unfortunately, Indiana had very antiquated laws around guardianship, and they had not really kept up with demands of how, one, services and supports were changing for people with disabilities. And the assumption was, if you have a disability, you can't make any decision for yourself. Well, that's not true. There's many people with disabilities who actually can make decisions on themselves. They might need some guidance. And so I think the piece of legislation you're speaking of was when we created supported decision-making as an alternative to guardianship for those individuals where guardianship isn't the acceptable or the appropriate choice, just to make sure that families have multiple tools in the toolbox to protect their loved one with a disability. And most importantly, that that person with a disability has as much opportunity as possible to live independently, make decisions for themselves, and be comfortable on who's helping them make those decisions. And so we are still kind of, that's a work in progress. So yes, we passed supported decision making, but we are still very much looking at guardianship law in particular, to making sure that they're all updated and moving forward in the right direction.
And with that independence and that bridge towards that and facilitating that, then addressing workforce, because there's such a large percentage, is it like 87% all adults with disabilities are unemployed? So it's a really massively untapped area. And that facilitated this when you mentioned the Erskine Green Training Institute and it's located in Muncie, Indiana. And it's become a national model. And can you explain how the due diligence that you did and the research in creating and facilitating such a success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, again, it started right around 2010, 2011, when legislators was really, we were talking a lot about people with disabilities wanting to work and we need to have more opportunities to get job skills. And again, in Indiana, we just didn't have a lot of opportunities for that. And so legislators were just like, you guys need to make it happen. You have this network across the country to learn from with other ARCs. Look into it and do something. And so we did exactly that. And we did a lot of research around the country where there were some colleges that were specific for people with disabilities, but most of them, unfortunately, focused only on life skills, how to cook your dinner, how to make your bed. That wasn't exactly what we were looking for. There were some programs that did teach some job skills, but not in a way that was having success. I remember talking to an organization out in Delaware that was talking or teaching hospitality skills, but they were teaching it at a hotel from 7 a.m. until 10. Well, if you've ever been in a hotel, 7 a.m. to 10 is generally not the most busy time within a hotel. And so quite honestly, we started learning more from other organizations' failures and mistakes than what we did from their successes. And through all of that is how we kind of came up with the package that became Erskine Green Training Institute, which is a very immersive 24/7 living environment. So we have, you know, that Courtyard Marriott in downtown Muncie that is a teaching hotel so that our students live at the hotel, while they are taking their classes at Erskine Green Training Institute so that they can see the hotel 24/7. Because there's some weird things that happen at a hotel, right? You never know what to expect. And so they need to be able to get comfortable in that environment. They need to be able to deal with a situation when it happens and not have a controlled environment like that 7 to 10 training session was that I talked about earlier in Delaware. We just really felt like that immersive learning environment. And then we also knew that we needed to teach some of those soft skills. So not just how to do a job, but how to work with coworkers, how to dress appropriately, how to do hygiene, how to take advantage of any public transportation system, how to get involved in your local community. Quite honestly, again, how to stay active and take care of yourself and make your health good. We teach all of that at Erskine Green because it's that full package that not only leads to you getting a job, but keeping a job, and then hopefully growing your skill set so that you can advance in a job.
So it sounds like there's equal focus on citizenship, like how to be a citizen and an asset to your community. And an integral part.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. I mean, I think there's so many things that we take for granted of just, you know, and this sounds silly, but it's the truth. When we very first started Erskine Green Training Institute, there was a lot of people that came to our class that never ordered their own meal at a restaurant. Mom and dad always did that. So when they came to EGTI, we taught them to asking them the simple questions of what do you want for dinner? What is it you're going to order? Ordering that for themselves, paying for it themselves, coming up with a right way to, you know, compute the tip. All of that stuff is things that a lot of people with disabilities don't get to do for themselves. And it's not because their mom and dad, you know, do that, you know, out of harm or anything. It just naturally takes place because they, in their eyes, they always see them as a child and needing that assistance when in fact, most people are completely capable of doing that themselves and actually, you know, really like the independence in doing so.
So there are specific courses. So a student comes to Erskine Green Training Institute to focus on a specific area within hospitality. And then also, aren't there courses that would feed into the medical industry as well? And so can you describe the course offerings and what type of jobs these individuals are achieving?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's three areas: hospitality, food services, and healthcare. Healthcare came about kind of by accident, just as we were talking to the Muncie community about what we wanted to do. And the local hospital approached us to say, much of what you're teaching in hospitality and food services can be transferred to the hospital setting as well. We need this workforce. Can we come on board too? And so that's the way that happened. And so we do an assessment of individuals. Most of our students come to EGTI and they do what we call a career sampling session, where they go in and they do a little bit of all three of those areas: hospitality, food services, and healthcare. And then we help them by saying, these are your strengths. These are your areas that you still need to grow. And then talk to them about what they're interested in. So we help guide them into an area that we think that they're going to be successful in and that they want to do. So then when they actually become a student, they work with our student instructors on whatever area. So in the hospitality setting, we have a front of house, which is, you know, front desk clerk working in our bistro. We have back of house, which is laundry, housekeeping. We have all of that within the hospitality. In food services, we have, you know, the typical host and hostess, the waiter, the kitchen cook, the prep cook, you know, all of that, you know, you would think of in a restaurant setting. And then in healthcare, we not only have those environmental services, which is, again, that, you know, cleaning, the housekeeping stuff, patient transport, which is taking patients at the hospital who are undergoing tests or undergoing a surgery and then taking them back to their room. That's actually has been a very popular training track for EGTI. We have a lot of successful patient transporters from our system. And then recently we added a warehouse clerk for the healthcare industry. And that is really working at a hospital and putting together all of those surgical kits that are needed for any procedure or any surgery that you can think of. All of them are in this warehouse, and then our students put together those kits so that surgical team is prepared and has everything right at their fingertips when they're ready to actually do the procedures.
And what's been the feedback from those organizations and companies that have hired your graduates?
Yeah, it's fantastic. IU Ball Memorial Hospital in Muncie has been a tremendous partner, and they have benefited greatly. They have been so good to our students that we have had a lot of students move to Muncie to specifically work at that hospital, which is fantastic to see. Hotels around the state have been hiring EGT grads and are so thrilled to see them come because they're coming to them already with a great foundation of skills. And some of them are already coming together with passing some of those national certifications that are needed in the hospitality and food industry. We do that at EGTI. So when they go to work someplace else, that company and organization does not have to go through those testings. We are ready to hit the ground running and are already certified in those key areas.
And what are the benefits to those companies that are hiring? Are they experiencing a retention rate and benefits to their other employees? Mm-hmm. What's been the ripple effect?
Yeah, so absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that we've learned a long time ago for people with disabilities is people with disabilities, one, are very loyal. Once they get into a work environment that they're comfortable and that they're succeeding at, they want to stay. And then what we've seen with a lot of studies is that then impacts the whole workforce within that community. Everybody, one, is kind of challenge to work better to work closely with one another. It boosts the morale across the whole workforce, which has been really good, which has led to greater retention, a lot more productivity, and it is a lot happier employees. So yes, absolutely, that has been an impact that we've been really proud to share.
Well, and I understand that funding has been a challenge for any workforce program, period, mm-hmm. let alone when you're dealing with special needs who have the need for a lower ratio of student to teacher and more hands-on, but with these really desirable ripple effects of that spending. So what's next for training? Where do you see this expanding to?
Yeah. So we always had the vision. We knew that not everybody with a disability wanted to work in healthcare, hospitality, or food services. And so manufacturing is an area that has been a natural. We have a lot of people with various disabilities who very much like the working on a line and doing the same thing over and over again, and they have a lot of success. So manufacturing is naturally an area we want to grow into. Printing is another area. Car detailing, those are areas that, again, we've seen great success for people. Computer skills, all of those things are kind of top of mind, the things that we have been talking about and really trying to do some research in. And then we are also having companies come to us and saying, what can we do? Again, so much of what we do in the hospitality and food services is transferable to so many other environments besides just, you know, hospital settings, that we're looking at what is that growth opportunity as well that we can build into.
So over the last 23 years that you've been with ARC of Indiana, you've seen a lot of changes and a lot of improvements. How has your job and your experience with ARC and working with these families, how has it impacted you and your family personally?
I'm very blessed. I love my job. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And never in my wildest dreams when I was in high school, even college, did I think this was the path I was going to be on. And I'm a true believer in everything happens for a reason, and God kind of opens the doors for you. And if you don't walk into them by yourself, he nudges you along pretty, you know, exactly.
Shoving motion. This is audio only, but I'm pushing in the video.
Yes. So if we don't listen on our own, God has a way of forcing us into situations. And that's exactly the way it happened for me. You know, when I started with the ARC in 1998, I only had one child, did not have a close connection to anybody with a disability. But in 2001, I had my daughter, and then she was diagnosed with a learning disability and characteristics of dyslexia. And so my work at the ARC allowed me to be a better mother for her, because I knew all of those education and special education laws and was much more prepared to sit at the table during case conference committees and kind of maneuver through all of that process, which is not easy at all whatsoever. So I'm very fortunate that, again, you know, I was nudged in this direction. And so it's impacted my life a lot. And quite honestly, I think it's impacted my whole family, because now my whole family has a new perspective on people with disabilities and all of their capabilities. And instead of looking at somebody and feeling sorry for the things that they're not able to do or that we think that they can't do, my family now looks at people with disabilities and sees all of the wonderful opportunities that are now created and that they have available to them, and really has learned to appreciate differences in people and learn from them rather than to seeing it as, you know, something that is a negative or isn't, you know, is difficult. They have, you know, been to enough of our events that they have seen people's success. And I think they take from that all of the great opportunities that have been out there, not just because of the ARC, but other organizations as well. And I think they too kind of feel this sense of pride that they've played a role in that.
Oh, that's awesome. Kim, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. It's so lovely to speak with you, and I am so grateful for all the work that you do, and congratulations on celebrating this 65th anniversary of ARC and all of the wonderful, wonderful services and that you've provided for the state. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. Always want to talk about the ARC of Indiana, and very glad that you came into my life a few years ago and we've been able to build this friendship and have this opportunity as well. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Joy with Kara. I hope that you are continuing along a meaningful path in your own life to finding joy. Thank you so much for listening.